If you would turn to the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 12. And last week we were looking at living in the wilderness and what God does in the wilderness, those times that we hear from God and we kind of feel like we're all alone and we're out in no man's land. And we looked at that most people live there. And in a sense, this as God, again, brings me to this wilderness experience, brings us to Jesus being tempted here in the wilderness. And most live there. And they're okay with that. When God wants us to live outside of the ordinary, outside of the mundane, outside of everyday life, most people live not sensing or hearing God's voice directing them to take them to that next level, to take them to that extraordinary. Moses had the burning bush experience. God desires for us to have a burning bush experience. God wants us to be ministered to. God wants us to do amazing things for him. And this morning, as we just keep moving closer to Easter and the cross, the scripture this morning is Jesus being tempted, Jesus overcoming. And not only can we overcome temptation, but we can have victory over temptation. We can live in that realm that God wants us to live. A great number of people just choose not to. God wants to bring them out, make those changes. And I believe this morning that God was speaking to some, even during the prayer time, that he wants to break chains. He wants to take us out of that ordinary realm and take us into the new realm that he wants. See, God wants us to learn things in the wilderness. Now get this. God wants us to learn things in the wilderness, but God never intended for us to live there. Say amen to that. He never intended for us to stay there. So would you bow your head this morning as we just take a moment to pray. Father, this morning I come in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and I'm asking, Lord God, that we would desire to be living in the extraordinary side of life. Help us to get victory in areas of our life that you speak to. Help us to not be bullheaded, and help us to not just put it off to another day, but Lord God, that we would live the lives that you intended for us, that Lord Jesus, you would accomplish all that you want to accomplish. As we open up this scripture, may we not just read it through and say, oh, that's great. That's what Jesus did, but you don't know the circumstance that I'm in. You don't know the situation that I'm in. Father, today, as we work our way through this passage, I'm asking that you would just speak to each heart, and that each one of us could draw a nugget of truth. Each one of us would draw strength in knowing that because you got victory and because you work in our lives, that we can have victory and that we would be all that you want us to be and accomplish all that you want us to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1, reading down to verse 12. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all these temptings, he left him until an opportune time. Boy, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted by the devil. There is so much in these first two verses that I believe we could just spin off and stay there. First of all, Jesus, full of the Spirit. He had just been baptized. He had just been in the Jordan. God answers him and says, this is my son in whom I am pleased. That blows me away. We sit there and we see that Jesus is empowered by the Spirit. Jesus gets an audible voice from heaven that all could hear that was there that said, this is my son whom I love, whom I'm well pleased. He left that empowering moment and then went into the desert and fasted for 40 days and went against the condemner of his soul, the devil. Scripture tells us that Jesus went into the desert after he was full of the Holy Spirit, after he had been ministered to by God the Father, filled by the Holy Spirit of God to go into the desert, and then yet there are some commentaries that want to pick holes in the desert experience. It's amazing how some people stay in the ordinary, don't ever want to get to the extraordinary, don't ever want God to do something amazing. Imagine that a commentary would come around and say this and try to pick holes. There really is no high point anywhere in the world where Jesus could have stood, where Satan could have offered him the whole world. Do you think that God can't do that? Do you think that just because there's not a mountain high enough or there's not a place where logistically speaking that would work, that God couldn't show the devil, couldn't speak to him at that point? Or to have a commentary that says, well, the Hebrews really wouldn't understand how Satan works as the tempter because Jesus had not went to the cross yet, and many of the Jews didn't believe that he was the Savior. And then you have some people that believe that there's not a devil. I choose to believe there's not a devil. I choose to believe that demons don't have any say on anything that's going on in our lives. They can't bother us or hurt us. That's not what my Bible says. That's not what my Bible says. Because my Bible tells me that there is a devil and gives many names: Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, murderer, liar, prince of this world, god of this world, the dragon, just to name a few. And I'm told that the same Satan that deceived Adam and Eve, the same devil that deceived them, is trying to deceive and to work against the second Adam, Jesus, from coming and finishing what he started for mankind. And that the failure of the first Adam left mankind dead, sorrowful, without hope, and in darkness, the second Adam, Jesus, would bring joy, would bring power, would bring peace, would bring light, would bring immortality, would be bringing redemption. And it made the devil mad. Amen? It made the devil mad that this would happen. I would rather believe. I would rather look at. I would rather see it this way, that Almighty God commissioned his son Jesus Christ to come and redeem mankind, to come and to bring all of these things. And Jesus Christ, the scripture tells us, takes on flesh. That's supernatural, folks. That's above my pay grade. Can you say amen to that? That's above my pay grade. It's above our pay grade to totally understand that Jesus could take on human flesh and come supernaturally here to redeem us. He takes on this flesh, which means that he can be tempted, which means he can fail. Say amen to that. Because if he couldn't fail, then he really couldn't redeem mankind. Amen. If he could not do these things that he said he was going to do, he wouldn't be God. He became like us in ability to fail, that we might be like him in the power to resist temptation. Jesus did not go into the wilderness to fail. That ought to be a big amen. Jesus did not go into that wilderness determined that he was going to fail. He was determined that he was going to bring victory to each one of us. He was coming out of that wilderness experience as a victor, and he was coming out of that wilderness experience so that we might be able to experience the fullness of God. Verse 3, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Have you ever been to Israel? Have you ever watched them on the news? The one thing that Israel and Jerusalem and all of those areas around there, the one thing that they have lots of is rocks. If you ever watch the news, they're constantly throwing rocks at each other. You know, the armies are throwing grenades and bombs and doing all these other things, and the people are throwing rocks. And if you understood the context of why he's saying this, you could picture, because most of those rocks were limestone, and they were just big enough to look like loaves of bread. And he's saying, you know, if you're the Son of God, take these stones and make bread. And the devil is approaching Jesus Christ and asking the question, if you are the Son of God. Do you not think that the devil knew he was the Son of God? That thrown down devil that was thrown out of heaven, do you think he did not recognize the one that threw him out? So you're looking at this and you're thinking, well, why would he say this? He knows Jesus is the Son of God. He knows this. He's saying to Jesus, if you want these people to follow you, use your supernatural powers and give them the material things that they think they need instead of the spiritual things you know they need. Amen? That's the only way you could be approaching the devil is trying to taunt him in his manly state. He's trying to challenge him to be the weak man Jesus, to provoke him to come out of character as the Son of God. Jesus is experiencing 40 days of hunger as a man, and he's hungry. That same Jesus brought manna to others, and Satan's taunting him, saying, well, you brought manna to others, bring bread to yourself. And Jesus refuses to use his divine status for self-preservation here. Jesus responds, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. The need for sustenance here could not lead him outside of God's will. For Jesus, hunger was a test of his will. He was going to do what the Father had asked him. To violate the law of nature and turn the stone into bread would violate his incarnation and would cause him to fail the plan that God wanted. Jesus refused to do that, but refused to allow the human side of him to fall to stop the spiritual and godly side of him, demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit working in his life. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. The supernatural God coming to this earth to save mankind. And it's a lesson. I believe it's a lesson to the Spirit-filled church today. What could we do if we were Spirit-filled and doing what God called us to do? What accomplishments would we make? What lives would be touched? What people would change their attitudes? Acts 8, verses 18 to 20. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of hands, he offered them money. And said, give me also this ability so that everyone that I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right with God. Verse 5, the second thing that he does, the devil goes up and he wants to tell that Jesus, imagine the devil telling Jesus, I can give you authority and power. Verse 5, he says, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours. In an instant, there again, let the commentary be the commentary. In an instant, the word of God says that he was shown the kingdom. In an instant, he was showed all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to him, I will give you that authority if you will just worship me. Jesus, if you will just take a shortcut and you will forget about the divine side and go to your human weakness and you go with your weakness, I will give you all the authority. If you will take a shortcut, Jesus, and you will worship me, I will give you all of this. You ever wonder, reading that scripture, who gave him the authority? It sure wouldn't have been God the Father. Because God the Father tells us in his word that, what? In Jesus, in him, all the authority has been given to Christ. If you'll worship me, this will be all yours. Jesus responds, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus refuses to take a shortcut, refuses to worship anyone or anything but God the Father. He quotes Deuteronomy 6:13 here, warning the Israelites to stop following other gods, that when they get into Canaan, that they would only serve the Lord Almighty. And if we're not careful, in the wilderness, we will do things that we wouldn't normally do. Amen. Been in the wilderness, ever done anything that you wouldn't normally done, but because of the circumstance, you do something out of character. In the wilderness, we begin to worship things or people that should only be given to God the Father in our worship. And we see people today giving praise and worship to things and people that should be given to Jesus. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It's a rebuke to the devil and a reminder to each one of us to be careful who we're giving our praise to, who we're giving our worship to. See, the devil made promises here that he couldn't keep. He offered power that he could not deliver, and he offers authority that he didn't have to give. Amen? Third thing that he does, he tells Jesus that if he would just jump off this temple, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him to stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, there he goes again. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he even tries to bring back the word of God as if Jesus wouldn't know his own word coming back. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Okay, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down and let these people see all of these angels come from heaven to save you. See, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan and the Spirit of God falling on him, it shows his purity and power. Heavenly Father audibly testing and saying to him that his sonship with authority, the Spirit of the living God acknowledging his worthiness, the Spirit of God saying that he's pleased with his Son. Here's the devil saying, okay, if you are the Son of God, go against what God the Father had said. This wasn't about power. It wasn't about power. It was about Jesus calling on thousands of angels and displaying miracles. Or it was about Jesus coming out of character as the Son of God on a mission from God and falling short, being weak as a man and taking second best instead of God's best. How many know that a lot of times when we're in the wilderness, we settle for second best because we don't like that wilderness experience. We don't want to wait on God. We're not sensitive to hear what God has to say. It's not about power here. Jesus could have took care of this. He could have called on the angels. But it was about Jesus being man and standing firm and avoiding temptation so that we might have the power to avoid temptation. It's about Jesus doing what is best that God the Father wants, rather than taking second best and being okay about this. Jesus answered, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." The life the devil would have us lead is doubt and uncertainties that the world can offer eternal blessings. You say amen to? How many times did the devil say, "Hey, don't wait. You can have this now. You can do this now. It'll be all right." That right now is all that there is. Take all the gusto right now. Worry about the rest later. It is a lie from the pits of hell and it smells like smoke. What lessons can we learn from Jesus' teachings here? We know that we can be overcomers in Jesus. Amen. We know that we can be overcomers. The same way that Jesus overcame is the same way that we can overcome. And we also know that Satan is a defeated foe, that all the things he whispers in our ears at times is a lie. One reason we need to know the Word of God. What's the key to resisting temptation? If you look at this verse, there's only one way. Do it the same way that Jesus did it. Amen? Know the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and empower you. As I wrap this up, folks, make sure you're led by the Spirit. Amen? How many made bad decisions because we didn't pray about it? How many have made wrong choices because we couldn't wait? Make sure that we're led by the Spirit of God. Make sure we're filled with the Spirit of God and empowered to be able to defeat the temptation, defeat the enemy that throws all of these little hand grenades at us. Make sure that we're empowered and hearing from God before we go in the wilderness. Amen? Make sure that we're filled. Make sure that we're prepared to go into the wilderness. Don't let the wilderness catch us by surprise. And when it does catch us by surprise, be prayed up. Be full of His Holy Spirit working in our lives. It would be much easier to follow Christ before we go into the wilderness than scrambling for answers in the turmoil. Know the Word of God well enough that when the devil speaks these lies, that just like Jesus, it is written. This is what the Word of God says. This is why I will not do these things. This is why I will stand on that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. I believe there's some believers' freedom prayers here in 1 Corinthians 10:23, I have a right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have a right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. Make sure that at times you're not causing somebody else to stumble just because you desire to do something. Galatians 5:16, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. If you're going to accomplish anything in the Spirit, the flesh has to die. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know what's the matter with most of the people in the church today? They're trying to do things in their own strength. They're trying to do things without the Spirit of God working. And most Christians are running around with no armor of God on. They're trying to take on the devil in their own strength, and they're not winning. One of our favorite verses around here, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of the enemy comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after that, and you've done everything that you know to do, stand firm. Amen. Jesus beat the temptations of the devil by the power of the Holy Spirit working in his life, living the truths of God. Listen to this closing verse as we close, and it's in verse 13. He says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You know what that tells me? You know what it should tell you? We need Jesus every minute of the day, amen? Right after the attack of the enemy, and we think it's gone away, boom. Sometimes we're attacked again. Scripture tells us when the devil has finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. If he was coming back to attack Jesus, how much more do you think that we need to be prayed up? How much more must we be sensitive to God's Spirit? When we lower our guard, we allow the devil to get a foothold in our lives. Empowered by the Spirit of God and the truth of the Word, we are equipped in power to overcome Satan's assaults. God's word in his spirit is more powerful than any of Satan's schemes. Amen? When we do, Jesus becomes the master of our lives. When we do, he warns us to flee from sin and allows us to have victory over that, not allowing us to get entangled. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I do not sin against you. That ought to be our prayer to close this out this morning. Amen. I have hidden your word, Lord, in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Boy, if we had that attitude, if we were approaching our circumstances that way, as soon as these things would come up, we would draw on the power of the Word of God. We would draw on the power of the Spirit of God working in our lives that I might not sin against you and giving God praise at the end of it. Amen? Father God, this word is for every single one of us this morning. There's not one of us that doesn't go through times of wilderness. There's not one of us that would say that we can do all things in our own strength. But we can say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There's not one of us that has not licked our wounds at times of battles. I'm asking, Lord God, for those that are going through temptation right now, no matter what it is, that, Lord God, they would draw upon your strength. First of all, they would seek you to have your way in their life in that circumstance, whether it's addiction of any sort, whether it's attitude, whether it's just our mindset of, I'll get to it. Whatever it is, Lord God, may you minister to us today. May you speak directly to us. May we be a congregation and a body of believers that trust you to do things that are impossible in ourselves so that you might get honor and glory. May we have enough nerve to stand up and give you testimony of praise as you do these things in our lives, and may we not forget them so that we might help another person. And we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise. We thank you for that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.